is Marguerite, and I am really enjoying your program, Salt Marriage. I might not have a marriage, and it is in limbo. And I'm just curious of how, as a believer and a follower of Christ, I'm supposed to behave, and how hard do I fight?
All right. Thank you, Marguerite. You set the platform for us here today. I'm Dr. Randy. This is the Intentional Living Center ministry to you and your marriage today, along with Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of the team. We love you guys. We want the best for you. We're going to talk marriage. And in particular, here I'm going to ask you a question. And I really would encourage you, if you care at all about your marriage, to answer this in your own head, the privacy of your own head, okay? Are you experiencing your marriage today as God intended? And if you're not, and you're being honest to yourself, you're not, you can. It can start today. I believe that. I have seen marriages radically resurrected. And I've seen couples make a decision to make their marriage work. And I've seen people who have said, I changed because I needed to make a change in my marriage to be the person that I needed to be before God in my marriage. And my spouse changed. And sometimes they say my spouse didn't change. But because of the changes I made, because I choose to experience my marriage the way God intended for me to do in this marriage, things can be better, can be different. And so we're going to help you think that through today. We're going to got some calls ready to go. I'd love to have you join in. If you can answer that question, are you experiencing your marriage as God intended? And you said, yeah. I want to know why. I want you to share with our community here at Intentional Living live today. What one thing would you say why your marriage is going as the way you think God intended? On the other hand, if not, we want to help you. And my line's open for you. Dr. Randy here at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Let me say this. There are three foundational legs to any high-stake relationship, and marriage being at the top of that list, humanly. And we'll go into some of this during this half hour. Number one is the glue of love. Love is like a glue that holds your marriage together. Unfortunately, many of us in our marriages, instead of having an epoxy-type glue, and if you know anything about glues, an epoxy is one that, when it sticks, it sticks. That's the wonder of all glues, right? Too many of us have kind of like the post-it note approach to marriage, you know? We'll post it up and see how it goes, and if it doesn't work, that glue won't hold that much anyway. Listen, we're told in John 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another, and it begins at home. Here's a fact. Love makes hurt hurt more. When you truly love your spouse and they hurt you in some way, I don't mean physically, by the way, please, we're not talking about abuse, that you got to deal with that strongly and you need to get help. But I'm talking about the ordinary hurts. My wife and I have been married 50 years. We married as teenagers, just kids. And there have been many times I have said things, done things, you know, in our marriage. And I'm sure it's hurt her, hurt Donna. And instead of choosing to allow that to dictate, she chooses to continue to love me. And you know, that's the kind of epoxy glue. You know, I've made a decision to be married to Randy, and we're going to work these things through. The problem is, when you really, truly, deeply love someone, the hurt really hurts more. I think you know what I mean there. Secondly, respect. One leg is love, the next one is respect. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are to show proper respect to everyone. It begins at home. You need to respect each other. We sometimes show more respect to the waiter at the restaurant than we do to our own kids and our family and our spouse. And we're to show respect. You know, respect is like the water that refreshes your marriage. You show respect with the words that you say, paying attention, looking into their eyes, listening to them. Don't argue, don't jump in and try to fix their problems. Hello, I do that often. That's disrespectful. Love, respect, and here's a big one. We're going to hear this in the calls today, is agreement. You got to have love, you got to have respect, you got to have agreement. You know, it says in Amos 3:3, how can two people walk together unless they be in agreement going in the same direction? Here's a fact. Agreement is sort of like the oil that keeps the machinery of a marriage going. You got to have oil or you get the squeaky wheel, right? The bearings start going bad. And what happens is when we keep the oil of agreement in our marriage, it brings joy, it brings unity and peace and intimacy in your marriage. And I am convinced in all the years I've been doing counseling, working with people, that this is like the biggie. For some reason, we struggle coming to an agreement. And maybe stubbornness and sin, pride. But I really encourage you, as you heard that caller, should I keep fighting for my marriage? Listen, I've seen marriages blow up and people walk away from each other, frankly and humanly speaking, for some of the dumbest reasons. If they would have gotten to these three, love, respect, and agreement, with counseling, with prayer. Yeah, but you don't know my spouse. Yeah, I don't. But I do because I've dealt with so many people. And I understand that it gets very complicated. And I know a divorce happens and separation happens. And I know that there's difficulties in marriage. But when two people can agree to say, hey, we think this works, love, respect, and let's get to an agreement. When that happens, better things can happen in your marriage. All right, phone lines open, busy already. Love to have you join in. How do you answer that question? Are you experiencing that in your marriage as God intended? If you are, I want to know how and why. And if not, why not? Give us a call. 888-888-1717. Nancy is in Michigan. Hey, Nancy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good. Which side are you? You got the your marriage is as God intended or not? What do you think?
It is as God intended, and I consider it a blessing every single day. So, you know, we teach our children that marriage and parenting are the two most selfless professions you'll ever be in. And yeah. So my husband and I really try to be selfless with each other every single day, and just make sure that he knows that he's valued and I know that I'm valued. And so it's been a really great practice for us and one that we try and model, you know, for our kids.
What about this agreement? I was talking about love. You know, you're really demonstrating love and respect. What about agreement? How do you guys work on disagreements in your marriage?
Well, you know, that's been a process that has evolved. Going back, our first, you know, first married, like we were raised in very different households. And so my household was very combative, defensive. So I had to learn, and I've learned a lot from my husband on how to handle things like conflict. And it's really trying to be Christ-like. He's just a very gentle spirit, kind, even-keeled. And so I've learned over the years, and we've learned to you know, obviously talk about things, but I need to be very conscious about how I react because my gut instinct is to, you know, get defensive, jump on all over him. But you know, that doesn't get us anywhere. So, I've learned a lot from him on just how to handle conflict. And we try and, you know, it's not like we never disagree, but we do it in a civil manner.
That's right.
Try to do it in a civil manner.
All right. How many years married now?
Oh, gosh, we're coming up on 36.
Good for you. All right. Humility. Yeah. What I hear in this is this sense of, hey, we're going to have Christ at the center. We're failed people, flawed people, rather. And we know that when we come to this thing of marriage, we have to be humble and respectful and loving and work on coming to an agreement on things. It makes a difference.
It does, and also asking for forgiveness because we're all human, we all sin, and you know, when I really think about if I've hurt him, that hurts me, you know, and
that's
so
right.
Apologizing is very important as well. So
very
I always
good.
Tell him he's my dream come true. So
36 years. Thank you, Nancy. Glad you're listening in Michigan today.
Yes, love your program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Hey, listen, love, respect, agreement. You get those three down on the legs of the stool of your marriage, and you guys are off to a great, great number of years ahead. Really true. Are you experiencing your marriage the way God intended? If yes, why? How? If no, let's talk. 888-1717. Maverick's in Arizona. Hi there. How are you doing?
Good morning. I want to thank you, Dr. Randy, for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's going on?
Well, you know, God's amazing. He's worked amazingly in my wife and my marriage for the last 7 years. We saved ourselves until marriage. We did everything right. God has been in the center from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We are equally yoked. We've been going on this journey together, and it's been what I believe to be the best marriage. She's my best friend, and she enlightened me 2 days ago that she just doesn't want to be married anymore.
So here you, and I'm so sorry. So you've been living in this, you're also awakened to the fact that you've been kind of living in a lie in terms of from what your wife is thinking.
Well, I do feel that way, but she's very loving and she has loved me. And we maybe have had a couple of arguments in the 7 years, but no fights, no abuse. We don't drink. We love one another. I work hard. From the day that we met, she stopped working. She was in the medical field, and I have got up every day, worked hard. And there's been a couple times she sat down with me and basically stated that her needs aren't being met in as far as when I get home from work and being taxed, as far as running 100 employees, that I don't hold her hand or she's not feeling that physical connection, which I really try to do my best. But now it's come to where she says the job is more important, but the job is just a means to provide. We go to church, we go to dinner, we have great times on the weekends. I'm completely blindsided.
All right.
I'm just completely blindsided, and I have no clarity. And I know God loves me, and He is my strength and is going to see me through. The uncertainty lies where I asked her, well, do you love me? She said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I said, and this has just happened in the last 2 days, and she already is packing and found a home. I'm completely baffled because I didn't see the writing on the wall. I said, don't you think this marriage is worth working on? You're my best friend. We are best friends.
You have kids?
God asked us to sell everything that we own. We sold our home, our lives, and everything, and we went and traveled. Basically, we heard, pick up your cross and follow me. Her and I, we did everything together.
All right, let me, can I just be brother to brother here, friend to friend, man to man, talk to you? All right.
Yeah.
Wife's not here, so I don't, you know, she can't respond, but a couple of things I just observed in hearing you speak. There was a lot of behavior type things. We've done everything right. We've done this, we've done that, we've done the other thing. And yet your wife is feeding back to you, hello, I'm here, but you're missing my heart. You're missing whatever's going on inside of me. I didn't hear you say, she said, hey, I'm sick and tired. You don't have enough. We don't have enough money, or you're not providing a house. And my guess is she's thrilled with all the provisions that you're bringing home, but she's missing you. She's missing the heart of the marriage. She's missing the connection with you. Is she saying things like your work is too important? And yet you see it as just providing, you know, we're providing, you got 100 employees, you got a lot of responsibility. Let me ask you this, Maverick, this has blindsided you. Is this, if you're being honest with yourself, is this kind of like stage one, she kind of mentioned, I'm not happy. Stage two, I'm not happy. And this is kind of like the fire alarm going off saying, hey, or do you think she's saying, I'm done, I'm out of here?
After stage one, I've made changes. I make concessions. And I feel loving me, knowing that, because I believe that she sits at home waiting all day for me to get home, and I have to be readily available to meet that need. I want to meet that need. I'm human. I'm flesh. But I feel her heart. I do, and I love her with my whole heart. So I sacrifice a lot for
But she
that.
Doesn't feel it.
Unfortunately,
she's not feeling it.
She doesn't feel it.
She's
You're
not
right.
feeling
I,
it.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, even when I reciprocate, or she says she wants me to hold her hand, and I reach over and hold her hand, and I'll hold it and rub her arm, and I'll caress her, rub my fingers through her hair, and I remove my hand, I have let her know, you never engaged to me. If you want affection, just initiate it with me, and it's the man's job to initiate affection. I love her. I've loved her with my whole heart, and apparently that's not enough. I still think that that's not worthy of going in a different direction. I believe that God brought us together. I don't know what God is thinking looking at this situation. I would definitely, Dr. Randy, own my own in this situation. I'm trying to be honest with myself before God because I'm not accountable to anybody else but Him. And I truly believe that I have been my best with her. I show affection. We go to the movies on weekend. We go to church and then go to dinner. I love her. We hold hands. We get dressed up. She's on my shoulder every day. I boast about her. It's unreal.
All right. Let me suggest, just, I think you've got to take a deep breath and slow down right now in terms of with your wife, not to bring these, I mean, she sees them, she's experiencing those things. I guess, I would imagine what she needs more now than anything is for you to just hear her. She needs to be able to speak her heart, her pain. You don't know. I don't know what's going on in her heart. And you're confused. If it were me, I would just be honestly, honey, I'm confused. I love you. This isn't what I want. I obviously have missed it. This is way more than just, you know, holding her hand. I mean, if she's saying, hey, hold my hand or do these things, but it's missing her in some way. And I'm not saying that you're missing her, but she's not feeling it. And I think that's a key. We talk about the book Love Languages, which, by the way, would be a great book for you to get, The Five Love Languages. Because some people, by the things that you're doing, is what turns them on to feeling the intimacy and the closeness in a marriage. And for others, it's going to be gifts or time or acts of service. And there's different ways that we connect with each other. In my marriage, I've learned my wife, there's certain things that really are important to her and other things not so much. And so if I get involved in all the things that are not so much, she's fine and that's great, but that doesn't really touch her where she is. So I would encourage you, Maverick, to give her space. Go get some counseling for yourself to really get some help and, okay, what do I do now? Because you said I'm not accountable to anybody but God. I get you. I understand what you're saying, but you need to be accountable to some people here too. There's wisdom and safety in many counselors, it says. I would encourage you to go to your pastor or a counselor and just lay this out and listen and see what happens. And then, of course, leave the door open. I wouldn't badger your wife or demand or any of that. Just give her space. Would it be all right with you, man, if I asked our listeners to pray for you and if I prayed for you?
That'd be absolutely amazing. Let's do that.
All right. Don't cash this in yet. This could be just a big, loud fire alarm in her life, which is great. Hey, listen, talk to lots of people just where you are right now. They come back better than ever when there's a wake-up call on both sides. Father, I pray for Maverick. I pray for his wife. You know her heart. You know his heart. I hear two believers missing each other, obviously. We're human. And these things that we've talked about, Father, love and respect and agreement are so essential. Lord, I pray that you will soften Maverick's wife's heart and his heart. The two of them could have a complete revival in their relationship. And that can take work, take time. That you'll give Maverick sensitivity and leadership that'll honor his wife, and that you'll give her the recognition that to work on this marriage is something worthwhile to do. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right, hope you do that. We need your support. We can't do this without your help. There are people desperately needing the truth that we need Jesus, and then we need to live intentionally in Him. That's what the Bible teaches us, both faith and also the actions that we take every day, and that's what we are committed to. Marriages, families, individuals, people coming to Christ, young people for the next generation. We need your help here through the ministry. Can't do it without your help. Just slightly behind where we need to be with our budget. Just throwing that out. If you're able to help us at this year-end point, we'd appreciate it. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate, or you can call us here during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2 to talk to our staff. All right, Josh, you're in Michigan. Thank you for your call. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, but it looks like maybe not so good, though, huh? Looks like you got some stuff.
Oh, yeah, got snow coming.
Yeah, at that time of year. What's going on in your marriage?
My marriage, I mean, it is over. Mm. We are divorced. But the marriage itself was not really intentional from her end. When it first all went down, I moved to Florida. We had kids, but the state of mind I was in was very, very scary. I'll just say that. And it just stems back from us not going to church with each other anymore. She belittled me almost every day, where I was more along the lines of, okay, I believe we can seek counseling, family counseling, marital counseling, anything. I want this to work. But it got to the point where I love her as the mother of my children, but I wasn't in love with her anymore.
And it sounds like you're struggling to move on here at this point, isn't it, Josh?
I was struggling a lot more than I am now.
How long ago was this?
It would be 5 years.
5 years, all right.
Five years this year.
Let me ask this question, and just very briefly, what would you say you guys should have or could have done differently that maybe had a different outcome?
Paying more attention to each other instead of just putting a wall up and not dealing with issues.
Yeah. Denial is a powerful thing. Yeah.
There was no communication to each other. It was yelling. It was screaming. I was told all the time, you can leave. Me and the kids don't need you.
Yeah, that's hurt. That's hurtful. How can I help you today? What's going on today? How can I help you today?
Today I seen something on Facebook that reminded me of everything that we had, everything that we could still have if, you know, things just didn't go sour.
And it kind of brought some of these emotions back, huh?
It did.
Yeah.
I mean, since then, yeah, I have been talking to somebody else, but I want to just completely put this behind me and move forward with who I've been talking to.
Well, let me encourage you, Josh, from working with people over the years, as long as you have things that are unresolved from the past, they're going to be like a ball and chain on your ankle as you try to move forward with another person. And that's spiritually and emotionally and personally, insight and so on. So I always tell people, listen, take the time. And it's not just time. That's part of it. You said it's been 5 years. I've seen people 20 years later still with a ball and chain on their neck, around their ankle. But you need to, I would encourage you to find a brother, counselor, pastor, a support group, some other men, and really work through whatever this is. Because if you have these flashbacks when a Facebook thing pops up and can't see it and say, God, thank you for protecting me through this whole process and healing me and bringing me to this place in my life, but it brings up those old emotions, that's the kind of thing you really should see as a symptom to get dealt with before you move any further. Now, I have a thesis that I want to share with you this month. This is for all of our donors, for all of our members of the Intentional Living family, and for the staff, something that I believe. And I've seen over years of counseling and working with people, and frankly, I've seen it in myself, and here it is. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. Now, when you have friendships, you can kind of deal with those. You can put, you know, some boundaries in place and barriers, or maybe separate as a friend and go in another direction. But when it's someone that you're close to in your family, what is it when you have an emotionally weak person that's your parent, or your sibling, or your spouse, or yourself? All right, Lika, thank you for that clip, because that's a clip from this featured lesson this month on emotionally weak people. Yeah, members, thank you for making it possible for us to get all this out to people, help people, see people come to Christ, young people making decisions for their lives. It's exciting. We need your help. We're listener supported. We got a really close budget. We don't borrow anything. It just comes in, goes back out to help us. If you could join us with a generous year-end gift, join monthly, we'd appreciate it. We really would. How do you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. We appreciate it. Let me say this in closing. We're going to continue to record here for the next half hour, and we're going to air all these calls on Monday, next Monday, Thanksgiving week, because we've got people that are calling, sharing how their marriage is as God intended and why not. And we'll continue to call or talk to them. Love to have you join in at 888-888-1717. You know, there are four steps to this process of moving from hurt to hope to healing in your marriage. And let me just give you the first one, because you got to get this one right. You guys, or you personally, and I personally, we always have to identify the hurt, the pain, or the disagreement. We have to have a clear understanding of what's going on. A doctor has to be clear of what he's going to operate on or she's going to operate on before they operate, right? You got to have a clear understanding of what's got to be fixed in the car before you take it in, or when you take it in. They come back and tell you it's the transmission when actually it's the carburetor. That's a problem. Get the right thing. So spend some time. Ask God to reveal to you what this hurt is all about. Identify the hurt, the pain, the disagreement. And on Monday, I'll give you the rest, okay? I'm Dr. Randy. You can call us. Love to talk. 888-888-1717. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.